Algorand pumping on news that it is quantum secure. Not news to us. We all knew that all along, but Google figured it out, mentioned Algorand more times than any other project except Bitcoin and Ethereum, and kind of used it as the example for how to best tackle quantum. That's what we're going to talk about today on Frugal BC. And welcome, everyone. Algorand doing tremendous. Now, I've long said that Algorand is never in the top, 10 for losers or gainers. It's always just kind of in no man's land. That is not the case today. I've also said, and I argued this in my newsletter today, which you can check out in the description. I've also argued that you usually don't see. What was I going to say now? Oh yeah, you don't see news move the price very much these days, and this seems to be an exception. So we're going to dive into this news and a bunch of other Algorand news. We got Hedera news. Hedera left out completely of the equation, which is kind of crazy. I'm actually very surprised about that. I've had some arguments about quantum security with Hedera people, and them getting absolutely zero mention while Algorand got all the mentions could have to do a little bit with Mark and his former relation, the Algorand CSMO, I guess now, Chief Strategy and Marketing Officer, Mark Vandenberg, who used to work at Google, was helped launch the Google phone. So yeah, kind of a big deal, right? And yeah, I'm just looking at this chart. This is super fun. I can't wait to get into the prices. Hope everyone is doing well out there. If you are happy about the Algorand price pumping, go ahead and hit that like button. We went from, what did we go from, like 9 cents to 12 cents? I'm looking at 12 cents on my screen right now. That is crazy. I've not seen this much good news in Algorand for a while. So hey, we got to celebrate it while we got it. Spiritual Beers in the chat saying I was close to dumping my Algo bag for more HBAR a month or so back. Glad I kept things as is, although both projects are showing promise, and I think they are. We'll dive into that. Hope everyone's doing well out there. We've got plenty to talk about today with Algorand and Hedera news. If you're watching, please hit that like and subscribe button, especially the like button. Because you don't have to smash it. You can just press it gently, but it helps the stream grow, especially early on. So the more people that hit that like button, it's free. Doesn't cost you anything, and will definitely help get more people in the chat. You know, I want to get, it always helps to have more people to kind of respond to before we get to our segments today. I'm having a lot of fun with this, though. I was really looking forward to the stream today just because there's so much fun stuff to talk about. And we go live every 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, Tuesday and Friday. Every Tuesday and Friday for the most part, unless I'm too busy to come live. Sometimes that happens. I might make a video on my own. And we also have channel memberships, by the way. You should definitely check out our channel memberships. I shared my latest experiment in the realm of prediction markets. And I built a baseball prediction engine. I'm only talking about the specifics on my channel members only videos. So you can check that out in the description. And it's a good way to support the channel, too. They're both pretty affordable, so. And again, of course, subscribe if you want to see us. You want to make sure you get notifications of our live streams and just see our stuff in general. But, well, why don't we get to price? The chat is a little quiet today, so I'm just going to dive right into this because I think this is super. This is just fun times right here. Look at that. I skipped ahead because I just had to show this. Algorand at the number 2 spot for 24-hour gainers. I think it's going to do pretty well on this 7-day too. We'll get to that. We're going to start here and kind of walk our way backwards because look at Algorand, almost 10% up on the 24-hour, 47% on the 7-day, sitting at 12 cents. Now, we have not seen that level in a while, second only to something called EdgeX that I have not heard on. I have not heard of anything about this, and it's the first time I've seen this, so this is probably like a flash pump that will disappear quickly. And Algorand, on the other hand, doing well. Look at it, almost 8.9 billion algo released now. So that's really good news. William PMCD says, hey, bud, any comment on Hedera? Yes, we will have an entire Hedera segment, so keep an eye out for that. It is coming. So otherwise, top 10, Render doing well. We've been seeing Render up there quite a bit. Quant is doing okay. Dex has been here a number of times, as has Say. Near Protocol having a little turnaround at 120. BitTensor, 384. Pump.fun up there again at 4%. That is not going to be in the 24-hour gainers, I can tell you, just from looking at that. And Artificial Superintelligence. Right behind it is Canton, by the way. It's one I've been kind of interested in. Heard an argument that it was not actually a blockchain, which I thought was interesting. I don't know if I fully... I wasn't really convinced by the argument, but it was also a little over my head, to be fair. William says, any insight on Frontcoin usage? Who is using the smart contracts today? Oh, I haven't seen anything about that. I don't have anything flagged for my segment, so we'll see. Yep, and on the 7-day, EdgeX at 94%, followed by Algorand at 48%. So number two on the 24-hour and the 7-day. Now, if this EdgeX hadn't showed up, Algorand would be number one. It was number one on the 24-hour yesterday and the day before. So the news about Google mentioning Algorand just seemed to really pump the price, which I was not expecting. I'll be 100% honest. We've not really had a lot of evidence that news has been moving the price very much lately. It used to back in the day, even 4 or 5 years ago. There just wasn't enough institutional holding to balance that out. So people would get very excited about news, just regular folks. Savvy Snail says we were here. Yep, we were definitely here. So let's see. Yeah, next up, MemeCore at number three. Venice Token at 22% up. Have not heard of that one before. I've been seeing a lot of new ones lately, which is interesting. Jupiter at 15%. I believe that's a platform on Solana, if I recall. Chili's at 14%. And Render still at 14% as well. Dex at 10.7%. Zcash at 9%. Now, Zcash was also mentioned almost as many times as Algorand was, not quite, and in the Google paper about quantum computing. Not quite getting the same pump that Algorand got. So that's interesting. And then just at 7%, I got Quant on there, Sky, Unisid, Leo, Stable, PayPay, Shiba Inu. So that is the, let's go back to market cap here. Bitcoin sitting at around 70, a little under 77, not doing anything too terribly exciting, nor is Ethereum. XRP up a little bit on the day, BNB up a little bit on the day, Solana just a tiny bit up on the day, down on the week. So, you know, the majors not really doing much, but here we are, Algorand kind of bucking the trend, which is pretty unusual. What about losers? Who's doing the worst? Let's go back. I just love seeing Algorand up there. Wait, hold on, I want to see. Nope, fell back under 12 cents a little bit, but okay. Not a lot of downers today, but we got Midnight down almost 6%, Stable down 5.5%, Just down about 3%, Monero down 2.75%, Caspa 1.6%, Morpho 1.3%, Sun down 1.2%, Aster down 1%. So it's been, you know, not a lot is going down too much. How about on the week? On the week, Aptos down 14%, Athena down 12%, Caspa down 11%, Hyperliquid down 7%. Got some interesting news around perp dexes around both Algorand and Hedera. We'll get into both of those today. Uniswap down 7%, Layered Zero down 6%, Decred down almost 6%, Trump down almost 6%. Remember this thing? Like, people were buying this thing when it was in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 80s, something like that. Y'all got wrecked. Bitcoin Cash down 5.5%, Dash down 5.5%. So honestly, a lot more upside than downside. And got a little spam comment from Kick, so we're going to ignore that. But it is a good reminder that we are live on YouTube as well as Kick, as well as X. Most viewers lately coming from YouTube, which frankly is better because there's actually some monetization there and I get jack squat from X pretty much. So I am technically monetized on X. I have not gotten a payout since. Oops, you don't need to see that. Have not gotten a payout since the very beginning. The first time I got monetized, I got the payout for all the time I had been on X. I'm taking a very different approach to X, by the way. I'm just I'm not trying to game the system anymore or trying to chase the algorithm. I'm just tweeting as a normal person, and actually it's been paying off, believe it or not. So all the advice you get, I think it's best just to be a real person. Let your personality out there and just enjoy. Just tweet about what you want, and I think you probably do better. Definitely enjoy it more. We're going to head over to Haystack now for all the Algorand coins. And I've noticed, I didn't look too deeply, but a lot of the coins getting a piece of the Algorand action, which is kind of cool. So Haystack, sponsor the channel. You can check out Haystack in the description below. And you can start trading today. You can save money on every trade. Mobile first works really well. They've got not only auto staking, which allows you to, any of your unused assets will start staking to earn you money. So they're not just sitting around there. Also, they got this new PvP, which I've been wanting to try lately. I think it's kind of interesting. You can kind of bet on whether they'll go up and down on a given day. Pretty interesting stuff, in my opinion. But anyway, we'll get back to the coins here. Let me grab a little drink of water. By the way, on the very top is this coin called Algorand, which paid for a boost, up 120% in the 30 days. Why the asterisk? Because someone from Ethereum mentioned Algorand, but couldn't bring themselves to spell out the name, so they put an asterisk in it instead. I thought that was hilarious. Algorand looking like a meme coin today, 46% on the 7-day, 30% on the 30-day, on the monthly, which is kind of interesting. Let's go down to something that isn't an Algorand derivative. Alpha Arcade at not having a great week or month. It's been on a downtrend lately. And Haystack, not nearly as bad as Alpha, but kind of doing the same. Polkagold up a little bit, up a lot on the 24-hour and 7-day. As is Tiny, actually having a nice run up at getting close to 0.3 cents. Now, to put it in perspective, this thing used to trade at 2.5 to 5 cents, so it's still a long ways to kind of get to parity. But Land of Cash says finally. Well, let's not get too excited. It's only 12 cents. It's good to see, though. I will say it's good to see. Definite up 17%. Folks Finance dropping below a dollar. That's been a long decline. Not one of my best investments, I'll tell you that much. MyCoin at 41% on the week, 9% on the 24-hour. DonkeyDAO looking pretty good at 11% and 34% on the 7-day. Land of Cash says, finally, Algo is not in the red. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Finally not in the red. I will agree with that. Votecoin at almost 11% on the 24-hour and 44% on the week. Nice to see that. Is Ludo in the chat? He'd be very happy about that. That's one of his projects. Pheasant Pluckers, still didn't say it wrong. One of these days I'm going to say that wrong and get my channel demonetized. Up 10%, 35% for Pheasant Pluckers. Liquid Hog at almost 5%, 17% on the week. GoWeave up a little bit. I don't know. I should have skipped that one. Skipping Governance. Stable at 2%. I haven't seen Stable on here for a while. KuCoin, almost 6% on the day. 24%, almost 25% on the week. Where are my Coop fans at? I hear he's making content again. I don't know. The guy like kind of, you know, he goes in these streaks where he makes content and then just stops. You got to be consistent, man. That's how it works. And I'm a little surprised to see MAlgo popping on the chart. Well, I guess it makes sense, but Messina kind of just rugged, disappeared. So I'll tell you, I did not have a great experience with their community manager because he was also the community manager at Opal, which is another giant rug. S-Lib up here at 16%. That's kind of funny. Gunna at 23%. Balzac, 38%. Akita at 15%, Nico at 15%, Munko at 12%. Lots of nice green candles up here for bigger and smaller ones. Catlin Guzman in the chat saying hello. What is up? What is up, Catlin? Welcome to the show. Got a nice little audience today. It's nice to see some returning faces and to see the audience growing again because it had been kind of quiet the last couple of weeks. I know part of it is I changed times. I moved it back a little so I had a little more time in the morning to get things done. Well, it's not going to look as good on Saucer Swap as it did on Haystack. Because Hedera not doing as well. But let's see, it is up 1.3%, so that's not so bad. Under 9 cents. So yeah, Algorand massively flipped HBAR's price. HBAR had been leading Algorand in price for a while, which is crazy because, you know, it has five times the supply, but Algorand back on top, which is kind of interesting. Sauce at 1.3, HBARX 1.43, Bonzo 1.1. Oh, this BSL is almost 9%. Let's see what's interesting. Gib at 8%. That's a big deal. That's a big one. DaVinci Karate up a little bit. It's Quant, so I'm not paying attention there. Everyday Algo says hello. Thanks for mentioning Vote. Hey, it's pumping up. Got to give a little shout out there for my buddy. Yeah, these kind of just a lot of these are just kind of flat. Looking for any major pumpers. Jeet at 4.6. Hashtree, that's a new one. I haven't seen that one on there. 1.3%. Dosa at 3%. GC at 3%. Is that by Gilbert's Estate, I think? Lehman at 1.5. I just get a kick out. I know I mention this every time. I just get a kick out of Lehman because they made him like a little lemon. It's Lehman Baird, you know, the founder. Oh, Suit at 7.65. Is that a new one? I don't remember that one. And HCHF at 4.5%. Galaxy up a little bit. Dino up a little bit. Let's see. Just looking for ones that are, I don't know. A lot of them are just like up a little bit. Hurt at 2.25%. Carrot at almost 2%. Link is on here and it is 669% up. And IOTA is too. So it looks like we got some new synthetics, but they don't say HTS on them, which is interesting. Then we got Stickbug at 1.82%. So I guess that's interesting. But yeah, definitely the big news is Algorand just pumping today. So that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. And we got lots more to cover. So let's see, what should we get into? Well, I'm just kind of dying to do the Algorand news, you know? I find if I push the mic forward, I can get most of the sound not picking up with when I drink water, because I know people get ticked. Oh, wow, I'm getting a lot of views on X, too. I'm getting like 50 already. Just I guess people care about Algorand today. It was trending for good reason, I think. Okay, let's see here. Yeah, let's get to our Algorand news today, because a lot of good stuff to get to. Oh, it's a good time to remind you that we also have a podcast. You can check out Frugal BC on all your favorite podcast apps, Apple, Spotify. I've seen it on, what's the one I use? Overcast. Yeah, that's the one I used. Eastern Dreamers says, hey, buddy, I hope you're having a nice day today. Thank you for providing us with an update. I've continued to hold my Algorand bag. Well, it's nice to see it going in the right direction, and we definitely have some more good news around that. So, oops, let me get my Algorand ones here. Okay. Well, let's see. Best way to start, okay. All right, so everyone who is watching this knows that Algorand has been pumping on the news that that Google announced that quantum computing is going to be a threat to cryptocurrency much sooner than we thought, coming in 2029. And their paper, Google's paper, mentioned Algorand more than any other chain except for Bitcoin and Ethereum. And with Bitcoin and Ethereum, they were talking about the threats. With Algorand, they were talking about the solution. With that as the backdrop, Stacey Warden maybe had a little victory lap as she went on the Bloomberg show recently. She went on with Bloomberg and talked about Algorand. And we're going to check that out first in our Algorand segment, but we got a whole lot of other stuff to talk about.
For more on tokenization, let's bring in Stacey Warden. She is CEO of Algorand Foundation. We should note as well that she was previously at the Milken Institute, where she led work on capital market development, as well as crypto and blockchain solutions. Stacey, welcome to Bloomberg Crypto. Can you just explain what Algorand Foundation does and what kind of role it plays or what kind of advocacy it does when it comes to tokenization?
So Algorand is a layer one blockchain. We are one of the OG blockchains, and we're very focused on financial empowerment. And we have a couple of things about the technology that makes us a good blockchain for that. We have something called instant finality, which means that as soon as you hit return on your keyboard, your transaction is final and cannot be reversed. We have very high throughput. We're a very lightweight protocol. So all of this, these kinds of chain mechanics make us very good for tokenization and for financial services more generally, also including payments. And the role of the foundation is to make Planet Algorand the best place to do business. So we make sure that the ecosystem is vibrant. We support the very many protocols building on Algorand. We engage in partnerships around tokenization and the like.
You know, I hear you speaking and I think of Ethereum, Solana, Cardano, Avalanche, Polygon, Stellar. How are you different than these others?
So
this is a very important question. This is what I've been talking about. Differentiation in this crypto space is extremely difficult, and it's really important for chains to find a differentiating factor these days. You can't, the day where you can just start a coin and you can just start a blockchain and everyone will flock to it, definitely cannot, definitely is not how that worked. Greenblue says, not sure I've ever executed anything in the blockchain by hitting return. Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I think she was talking metaphorically, but that's kind of a good point. You know, it's not really a return button. That's not a good function. I don't know. Sometimes you're on the spot and you kind of like say something like that. That isn't super precise. It's much harder to be precise when you're in one of these interviews and, you know, maybe you're typing something out. But every day, Algonaut's saying, I wonder if there's some news regarding the folks token. Last period distribution is over. I've not heard any new news. Yeah, they've been really quiet about that. Maybe we can get into that a little bit later, but let's continue the interview here.
Technically, we're a bit different. So technically, we are quite decentralized.
A bit different really isn't enough.
And we are quite permissionless. And so one thing practically that means is that you can participate in the security of the Algorand network with a consumer-grade laptop. You don't need enterprise-grade hardware to secure the network, which is true of more Bitcoin and Solana and Ethereum.
Sweet network, too. That's one of the biggest criticisms. It's like you need millions of dollars in SWE to run a node. I think they've relaxed it somewhat, but I still think that's a big factor.
Secondly, we have what's called a pure proof of stake protocol, which means that you can't be slashed. If you make a mistake, you can contribute and withdraw tokens whenever you want to secure the network. So you don't have to have a minimum level. You can participate with one algo. You're not going to earn rewards very often if you do that. And so the idea is that it's really a sort of a decentralized network of the people, if you will. Anybody can secure the network. So that's the most important thing, I will say. Secondly, that speaks to permissionless and decentralization. Secondly, we're the only platform that gives you an instant finality. And this is going to be very important in finance. Imagine if you have a stablecoin, even for a millisecond, where there's the same stablecoin can be redeemed in two states of the world at the same time. So you can't have that happen. And we have pretty high throughput as well. Mm. These are our USPs as they're known.
Theoretically 10,000, it's actually been tested at like 15,000 in the real world. It actually happened. And, you know, I always hear like nitpicking around that, like, oh, but, you know, was it this type of transaction or that? I don't care. I want to see the number. Show me the number. The numbers actually happen. When people talk about Hedera at 10,000, like that hasn't actually happened in the wild. With Algorand, it's actually happened. And I'm not saying like maybe Hedera would go to like 60,000. I don't know. But you don't know. You don't really know until it actually happens in a real situation and not a test. So is my thought.
Stacey, you are now classified as a digital commodity by the SEC. What does that mean for your business? What does it allow you to do that perhaps you couldn't before?
Yeah, we're doing the happy dance about that, of course, as you can imagine. And, you know, I can go into a little bit more detail, technical detail about why that is and why we were classified that way. But for us, it comes down to a couple of really important things. First of all, our institutions, our institutional partners, as I said, we're very focused on the financial vertical. Mm-hmm. Our institutional partners have always demanded a lot from us in terms of the instant finality and the throughput. But there's always this question on the table, right? Is the algo security? And this guidance takes that question off the table. And so this, you know, because financial institutions don't want to be engaged in unregistered securities activities unknowingly, right? And nobody likes regulatory lack of clarity, right? So that's the first thing. The second thing that is good for us is that, and this interestingly falls out of the first thing. So this second benefit only applies to those, you know, 10 odd tokens that were declared digital commodities by the SEC and the CFTC together the other day. This, if you are a digital commodity, then staking is viewed as an administrative act, not as an investment contract. So that also gives a lot of comfort to exchanges that want to list the algo and engage in activities with the algo, because they also don't want to be unwittingly engaged in activities around unregistered securities. So it's just bedrock regulatory clarity that we are, that is so important to us.
Has
we've
this
had, of course, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, we only have about a minute left, Stacey, so I wanna jump in. This regulatory clarity that you've been, who now are your institutional partners? Who are your customers? Who are you working with now as a result of this classification change by the SEC?
That's a really good question.
Well, it was only a couple of days, you know, a couple of weeks ago. So I wouldn't say that we've, you know, now onboarded a partner that we didn't have before. It's really been very much business as usual at the blockchain and at the foundation. But it does give a lot of comfort to us going forward, and comfort to also to the protocols that are building on Algorand, right? We are, and you know, we have had so much activity on this chain. We're known as an OG chain for so long that I don't think in a way we were ever, or and our partners were ever particularly worried about it. You know, we did our first token emission outside of the United States. We've been very careful to avoid the US regulatory parameter, but now, you know, we have just moved to the United States. We have turned the foundation from a nonprofit to a for-profit foundation. We have a new board. So it's like a kind of a new day for us. And this was the last piece of the foundation for us for, you know, total world domination and to do our part to make the US the
world domination. Jesus.
You know, the digital, the capital of digital tokens in the world.
All right, Stacey, good to speak with you. Stacey Warden is CEO of Algorand.
Yeah, that was pretty good, I would say. Everyday Algorand says one of the main features is that people do not pay for failed transactions. Yeah, that's nice. I heard Justin Bonds tried to argue that failed transactions were a good thing. I'm like, no, they're not. No, actually, they're not. They should work. That's how that works. So I probably should have moved that up in the screen a little bit. I apologize for that. But yeah. Pretty solid interview, you know, nothing really that new. Sheriff S says what? You know, the world domination thing is a little wild. Frugal, did you find out who is the owner of the for-profit Algorand Foundation? No, I didn't. Green Blue says, do they have the women's keyboard mics up? I don't know. Didn't sound that bad to me. I don't know. Some people are much more sensitive to this stuff, I guess. And then Greenville says, it means it's harder for Robinhood to make excuses about listing us in the U.S. market. Who knows? That might be coming now that more people are buying it with the recent pump lately. It gets more eyeballs. That might be, you know, but they've said that they base it on wish lists. So if people wish list it, that's what happens. So nice little victory lap to take. And it must have been recorded before that news dropped, I guess. I'm a little surprised that we didn't see mention of the Google thing, because I thought this was interesting. I went through Google's quantum paper and counted every major blockchain mentioned in citation: Hedera 0, Avalanche 0, Stellar 5, Tron 6, Cardano 7, XRP 14, Solana 16, and Algorand 32. Not even close, doubling up. I thought Zcash got a lot of mentions too, but I didn't
see
it.
For more on tokenization, let's...
Sheriffs have been afraid to check the price since Trump. It's good today, I'll tell you that much.
Bring in Stacey Warden. She is CEO of Algorand Foundation.
Oh, I wanted to highlight this thing about AllTrade because I thought this was pretty cool. So this is a perp DEX, a perps platform building on Algorand. Zero downtime, one of several reasons we're building on perps platform here. By the way, will be a lot more transactions when perps come online, with each trade executing multiple transactions, and traders from 9 blockchains seamlessly settle their trades all on Algorand. So I didn't know about AltTrade. Oh, and we're frozen. Great. Great. Glad X froze on us again. All right, just give me a second. I have to give it a second to shut down. Always super fun when it freezes on me. So I don't know who the owner of... I wonder if... Meanwhile, I don't know. Maybe chat knows. So anyway, let's see. What does ChatGPT have to say while we're waiting for X to... No single person owns the Algorand Foundation, even after the shift, as a for-profit structure. See, they also absorb key functions. It says it is not owned like a typical company with shareholders. Instead, it's controlled by leadership, board of directors. The board governs the organization, similar to a corporation, but that's not the same as ownership. I don't know if I buy that. I don't know if I buy ChatGPT, what they're saying about ownership, because I think a company has to be owned by somebody, doesn't it? Am I wrong about that? Oh, this is irritating. Okay, we're back. Thanks for hanging on. Sorry about the delay there. But thanks for the question. You know, I find that very strange and unlikely. Okay, we're back, and here we are. Oops. Anyway, we're talking about AltTrade, zero downtime, one of several reasons. Yeah, I mean, I just don't think it has a good source. I'm gonna dive deeper into that. World's first native exchange, bridgeless cross-chain order book trading, white label in minutes, earn trading fees, shared liquidity across 15 chains. I'm very curious to see what will happen when this PERTS platform pops up, because it sounds very, very interesting. So I thought this conversation was interesting, especially with Stacy's response. So Chainlink had something about the Chainlink reserves designed to support the long-term growth and sustainability of the Chainlink network by accumulating LINK using off-chain revenue, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about this before. You know, basically, Chainlink has off-chain revenue that they bring in from providing services to businesses. When they say enterprises, they just mean businesses. An enterprise client is a business client. That's what that means. And, there's long been this issue about whether... Let's see, I'm sure she said that. Well, she did actually respond. There's long been this contention that Algorand should be joining the Chainlink ecosystem so that it gets connected to all the other chains, which would bring liquidity on chain, which would make it part of the broader ecosystem. And, you know, we've never really gotten good answers on why not. Stacy and the team, we need this. Algo needs this. Algorand Foundation needs this. PS1. Stacy, I know you're seeing my reserve posts. That's why I'm sharing them. PS2, would love to share my vision with you. He is the CEO of InvestChain, which I don't know much about. Stacy says, can you give us the XX million in integration fees they're asking for? So I said, how much? Let's put it on the table. Nothing. Evia says, he responded to this, says, I will check if this is something to work with Chainlink regarding liquidity and price feeds. I think Folk Finance is doing something with them. It'd be great if there's something to be done there. So here's the thing. Yeah. Folks Finance is part of the Chainlink ecosystem. And if they could get involved, I'm sure Algorand could as well. Now, I imagine they charge a much bigger fee than for a blockchain as they would for just a company. But I don't know. It seems like I'd be really curious to hear a cost benefit analysis, and it'd be cool if they were open about that, because I want to know. Let's see. Just trying to see if there's anything. This person says 20. 20 million? Is that how much? Someone else had an amount. It's not popping up now, but someone said it was like between 2 and 10 million. But also, this was not necessarily CCIP integration. They were talking about the Chainlink reserve. And not necessarily the... integrating with them, although I still think that's a good idea. I think it'd be really, really hard because right now they're selling Algorand to fund operations. And so what they don't have off-chain revenue. Actually, I got to remember to respond to that because it actually doesn't make sense because they don't have off-chain revenue. So what are you going to put in the reserve? Like, that's the whole point. I thought this was interesting. Speaking of the Google Quantum paper, Algorand Foundation says Google's paper got people talking. Other chains are now experimenting with Falcon signatures for their post-quantum security. Algorand has been running Falcon in production since 2022. Oh, and the cryptographer who co-invented the framework Falcon is built on, he's our CSO. That is Chris Peekert. And this was a post from when he joined as the chief scientific officer. Okay, now this exchange is funny. So Ethereum people getting kind of butthurt over what's been going on with Algorand lately. So you're wondering what cool, good for you guys is about. Here's the bottom of the thread. Zodomo said, can't wait for the Ethereum Foundation and associated teams to solve the PQ issue for blockchains, had their work cloned by all the other alt ones, and yet crypto Twitter will still cry about them not being a positive force in crypto or for selling ETH to pay for their researchers. Well, I mean, come on, crypto, Ethereum is so far behind. So far behind Algorand in this space. It's just not even funny. It says, Kirby says they're doing great work. So is Algorand. He said wearing that new Milady PFP isn't going to deceive people into using Algorand. Milady lives on Ethereum. Cloud says Algorand is miles ahead in PQS than ETH. So Sodomo says, ask Grok, is Algorand post-quantum secure right now? If not, what is the state of their quantum cryptography research? Have they published anything? Dude, you can research this. I mean, really? You can research this. It's so easy. History is quantum secure, it says Clouds. Definitely true. Can't ever be altered. There's support for post-quantum accounts currently available, and all that's missing is VRF for consensus. ETH is still in the planning research phase, zero implementation. Zodomo responds, sounds like they secured history by using some PQ signature scheme called Falcon. Some scheme called Falcon, really. To sign Merkle roots of block headers, interesting, but by their own admission, execution layer cannot use these signatures yet. PQ accounts and consensus are not implemented as though for their own documentation. Kirby says it's three-part due to Falcon, created by our very own Chris Peekert. History is secure, accounts are secure via stateless logic sigs that can verify Falcon signatures. Last part is VRF consensus needs to become lattice-based. One of the few with practical live PQR implementations. Zodoma asked, is Ethereum miles ahead of in PQS than Algorand? Grok says, no, Algorand has had an actual PQS deployment. We've used Falcon lattice signature for state. They've used Falcon NIST standard lattice signatures for state proof, securing chain history since 2022. Ran the first mainnet PQN transaction in November 2025. Remember, we covered that, by the way. We covered that. And have experimental AVM support for PQ account verification. Now, we talked about why, just because they made this transaction, this post-quantum, PQ is post-quantum, by the way, post-quantum transaction, why they're not using them now, because they're way slower. So if they started doing it now and no one else is doing it, Algorand would suddenly be a really, really slow chain. And they're just not going to do that. At some point, maybe, but it's like 10 or 100 times, or it's a lot. It's a lot slower. So there's a cost to doing this, and it's why it's going to be kind of a just-in-time technology. Like, you're not going to want to implement it until you actually need it, because it's very costly in terms of time. Ethereum's PQ effort has 8+ years of research, devnets, and a multi-year roadmap with 0 mainnet PQ signatures or accounts yet, with L1 upgrades eyed for 2029. Both are progressing, but Algorand has live code where it counts. Oh, snap. And Zodomo says, cool, good for you guys. And people are just kind of laughing. Nice. No, honestly, good for you guys. It's a serious issue. That's good. King says, stick to Milady. Well, that's the plan since it's on Ethereum. Come to Algorand, brother. No, tell whatever community is brigading me to fuck off. It's helping, not helping your case. Well, that's the thing, though. I don't think anybody's brigading. People just do this on their own. People are very passionate about Algorand. People are in Algorand are very passionate about it. It's kind of the way these things work. People get very tribal with their blockchains, and it's just the way it is. So, yeah, that's our fun little encounter with an ETH dev. And then lastly, I thought this was kind of interesting. Rumor Roka is dead. Fact check, false. This is from D13, who is the core engineering lead at Algorand Foundation. He says, we are creating a system where common things, think key management, account management, state management, are standardized and made very reusable across TypeScript plus JavaScript contexts, React Native, Vue, Node.js. Gigabrain, Fear0 is the architect, with ParaWallet as the core, as core contributors and consumers, basically as a mobile web extension builder of wallet apps. You get a ton of difficult functionality out of the box, is similar vein as UseWallet provides for wallet management. Speaking of, the next major version of UseWallet will be compatible, composable with the system. Huge props, Gigabrain's Doug.algo and Transaction Labs. Identity world chess variant of Roko is also very much still happening. So that's cool. Roko wallet is the thing that is being used, I believe, in the world chess system, as I recall. And it was one of the use cases and one of the surprises that Algorand was essentially paying them to operate their system. I thought that was insane. I actually went back and forth with D13 on that. I just thought that was nuts. You know, when you have Chainlink out there getting fees, collecting fees, charging for a service that they're providing, and Algorand is like, hey, we can pay you for this. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And I say that as, yeah, I'm happy that it's pumping. That's good. It's still something that seems like really weird to me. So anyway, that's our Algorand news. And it's nice to see Algorand getting some wins. When a company the size of Google mentions you, Google's a, by the way, just to put that in context, Google is a Hedera Foundation or a Hedera Governing Council member. Like, I believe it's one of the founding ones. I could be wrong about that, but it's been with them a long time. No mention of Zero. Yeah. Greenblue says they took not for profit, literally. Well, yeah, exactly. That's the thing a lot of people don't understand about for profits. Just because you're for profit doesn't mean you actually have to make a profit. It really doesn't. It's if you're a publicly traded company, and now you have a duty to your shareholders, but it's actually an easier structure to do things. There's way more restrictions with nonprofits. And just because you're a nonprofit doesn't mean you can't make money. So a lot of people misunderstand that as well. It's just a matter of, like, there's no one individual owner or owners that can extract profits from a business. But you can have, I know one locally where I live, where they're a nonprofit, but they basically can get grants. They can get grants and things like that because they're a nonprofit, but their board is basically their family members. So they can pretty much approve any raise that they can afford that they're bringing in. So it's kind of gathering the best of both worlds, essentially. It's kind of nuts. Anyway, that's our Algorand segment for today. Thanks for tuning in for that. We got Hedera coming up next. And we got a nice little audience today. I appreciate that. It's nice to see it growing again. I think the Algorand news is bringing people in. If you have not hit the like button, actually, I kind of want to see. I'm going to be a little nosy. I'm just going to dive into my video, but if you haven't hit the like button already, I would very much appreciate you doing again. So, I think the Algorand, like I said, you don't have to smash it. You can just press it ever so gently, and it works that way too. We got 22. That's pretty good. Let's see if we can get up 30. How about? Can we get up to 30 likes? I think we can do it. I really do. I believe in you guys. I think you guys have supported me. I support you. Let's get it up to 30 likes. And meanwhile, I'm going to set up this Hedera segment. While I do that, just a reminder that we are available as a podcast too. You can get that on Apple, Spotify. I get mine on Overcast, and it's basically this live stream, but on the go while you're walking around. That's really fun. It's pretty neat. And I boost the audio a little bit. I take out the spaces as much as I can. And it's just another way to enjoy the Frugal BC experience. And boy, we got 127 people watching on X, which is pretty crazy. That's rare. My X numbers had been really, really low lately. Oh, weird. It's giving me a survey. I don't know. This is like zero viewers on X or on Kick. Kick is crazy, man. It's like sometimes I actually had commenters last week. That was kind of fun, but all right. Well, before everyone gets bored, let's start with the Hedera news. Now, I'll tell you what, I was very surprised to not see Google, when it talked about post-quantum cryptography, not mention Hedera, since Google is basically a governing council member of Hedera, yet no mention. I was very surprised. Someone in the Hedera community asking why they didn't take advantage of this. Let's take a look and let's see a little bit of a talk from Hedera, from Lehman Barrett. I don't think we're going to watch this whole thing unless maybe, but Brady says, why isn't Hedera posting nonstop right now about quantum encryption, security, readiness, and roadmap, given the Google white paper release from yesterday, which as far as I know, not getting mentioned at all. Anyway, here's a freebie, likely to use Falcon, by the way, which Algorand is using right now. Why don't we, let's just give a little mention, see what Lehman had to say.
Without that, for a long time we have.
The two things, the hints and wraps, comes together to form TSS. We're excited about it. And of course, we're not done yet. We're now looking at how to make everything post-quantum. But post-quantum transition is a pretty large agenda for us. So I'm going to let Lehman talk more about that.
Yeah, so this is really exciting. We are using a kind of threshold signature that other people don't have. And if we, without that, for a long time, we thought we weren't going to have what you invented. We thought that we were going to have to say we're proof of stake. Each node has an amount of stake that is any number of tiny bars or H bars, but we have to round it to a number from 1 to 5. That's what we thought for a long time we'd have to do, which is really ugly. I mean, it's not exactly proof of stake. It's rounded proof of stake. And you found a way of solving that. And it's totally solved now. Any number of H bars can be staked, and that is your weight in the voting. And you did it. And in 2018, we said we're going to do state proofs that would have a chain of address books. And the more years our network runs, the bigger your state proofs get. And you crunched it down to a finite size, and it will never change. It's a constant size, no matter how long. I love this. So that's what he's done with that. Post-quantum is also an important thing. Quantum computers are not going to be here this year. The world's experts don't think we're going to have giant quantum computers that can crack cryptography this year. We have them, but we don't think they're going to be big enough to do cryptography and low enough error rates and enough logical bits and all that stuff, qubits, all that stuff. So what we think is that it's going to be years before we have quantum computers that can break cryptography. But
well, Google believes it's 2029, so they strongly disagree. Now, remember, Google came out with a quantum chip. What was it, last year? Was it 2 years ago? And it was way further, more advanced than people expected. That chip alone was not far enough along to crack cryptography. Sorry about that. A little portmanteau there. But Google saying this is going to come along by 2029. They've already been like leading the path on quantum chips. It's pretty amazing. So I think he's a little overconfident there as far as the timeline. Now, what I'll say, and I've said this in my other segments, I've been saying this all along, the idea that Algorand or Hedera are going to be targeted when this comes along is probably unlikely. Now, the reason why I say that is because, first off, the capability is only one vector. The other vector is the cost involved. It's going to be very expensive. So you got to think about ROI. If I'm a hacker, first off, like, it's going to be really, really expensive for hackers to acquire this in the beginning. Eventually that'll change, you know, costs always come down, but the first people are probably going to be like, you know, probably large enterprise clients are going to be the ones that can afford these chips. And then first off, Hedera and Algorand, like, they're pretty far down the market cap, and the crypto market cap overall is like smaller than some of these companies. Like Nvidia's market cap is more than the entire crypto market, unless that's changed recently. I know Nvidia's been dropping a bit lately, but generally speaking, I think what we are years away from is quantum computing that's cheap enough that it makes sense to go after a smaller chain like Hedera or Algorand. I know it's a DLT, yeah, blah, 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 blah. So I think that's probably the more salient aspect. But it's funny that Brady is talking about how they're likely to use Falcon, whereas Algorand already using Falcon. That's been implemented for a long time. Let's go back up, though, because I think this is interesting. SaucerSwap Labs drops this about how much a $10,000 HBAR trade actually costs you. We broke down the fees across Hedera, DEXs, and centralized exchanges. And you can see SaucerSwap, one of the cheapest ones. Actually, there's SaucerSwap. We got two different versions there. Hashback, it's going to be a lot more. It's going to be like $87, only $17 or $42 on SaucerSwap. And Orbit, I don't even know about that one. That's $117, so that's even more expensive. Now, I think this is interesting because a lot of people don't take into account that these swaps are inexpensive, but they're not free. And they can end up costing you a lot if you're not careful. So if you do a lot of swaps, you end up, you're swapping yourself out of money. So you can't just go back and forth a lot. So something really important to keep in mind. Now, one thing I will say is that what's not going to happen to you is front running. So the MEV attacks that happened on Solana, on some other chains, not going to happen on HBAR because of the unique ordering system. Instant finality makes it unable to happen on Algorand too. So it's one reason I like both of those coins for actual practical purposes. So that's a nice little note from SaucerSwap Labs. Speaking of SaucerSwap, I thought this was pretty interesting. SaucerSwap V3 will be the biggest advancement for Hedera's DeFi ecosystem since fully launched in 2022 with SaucerSwap V1. This is what we're building, an on-chain order book that outperforms Hyperliquid in preliminary performance tests. That's pretty crazy, huh? Sauce integrated directly into the protocol through trading fee discounts for those staking Sauce with XSauce. An ideal environment for tokenized real-world assets, precious metals, financial securities, real estate, and any asset with tangible value, all on a high-performance decentralized infrastructure. The lowest fees on Hedera with the best execution for users. Infrastructure for agents to create highly efficient markets, along with semantic execution that facilitates access for the next wave of users, among other things. Lots of good stuff coming for SaucerSwap, but I thought the on-chain order book that outperforms Hyperliquid so far, that's going to be definitely interesting to keep an eye on. So don't definitely pay attention to that for sure, right? Not so good news. You know, it's some good news from SaucerSwap, but some not so great news from Hedera's Hashport. Now, I had some interactions with Hashport. I was trying to bring them on the show. They had initially expressed interest, and then when I tried to set up a date, just kind of fell off the radar a little bit. Hedera, from the outset, we wanted to share our love and gratitude to everyone. We have received notice that support for Hashport will be ending. As a result, all operations on the Hedera native fungible bridge, public bridging utility, will shut down May 31st. The faucet will remain fully operational. Let's see the whole thing. And I'm sick of my stuff getting out of order, so I'm going to bring it up in a separate window here, but they say, we urge all Hashporters to complete all porting transactions and removal of assets from the Hashport contracts prior to May 31st. Transactions will not be available after this time. If you're interacting with Hedera protocols or wallets like Hashpack, SaucerSwaps, and Dovu, you must remove any wrapped assets through Hashport before May 31st. Complete token list here if you want to check that out. Otherwise, assets may be locked or unrecoverable as all bridging infrastructure will be turned off. So, yeah, if you got stuff on here, take it off as soon as you can. Hashport has always been a public utility to serve interoperability between Hedera and the broader Web3 ecosystem. We understand the impact of our closure will be strongly felt. Please read the full announcement. Someone asking if it's April Fool's. That would be a really awful April Fool's to do. I don't think that's the case because of lack of funding or why. Sorry to hear this. Not a lot of. I was hoping there's a little more explanation. Funding from who? Were they getting funding from Hedera? That would be my guess. We saw that happen in Algorand a lot too, where these companies would be getting funding through like the foundation or whatever. And then it just shuts off and that's the end. You're done. You know, and I think building a business on a single source of income is always a really bad idea. You got to be really careful about that stuff. So, yeah, sorry to see. That seemed like an important function. But I know Hedera has had some partnerships around interoperability lately. So maybe they just don't feel like they need to fund it anymore. Wish I could say I knew more. Anyway, I thought this was kind of interesting. Here directly from Hedera Council representatives and board members at HeteraCon in Miami on May 4th. I'm almost thinking of looking in. I haven't really wanted to travel much lately, but I'm almost tempted to check this out. Here directly from the Hedera Council representatives and board members at HeteraCon, they'll explore the forces shaping the next era of digital finance from policy and governance to enterprise adoption, AI, interoperable networks. Register for free, so it looks like it doesn't cost you anything. You just got to get your butt there, which I don't know, man. I'm kind of thinking about it. It's in Miami, so at least it's in the U.S. I just really lost my interest in getting on planes and flying all around the world. I went to Decipher 2022 in Dubai. It was like 24 hours door-to-door. I'm just never going to make a trip like that again, I don't think. It just wasn't worth the juice wasn't worth the squeeze. It was very interesting. I got to know a lot of people in the Algorand space, but the original Decipher was in Miami. I hope they have it in the, I hope they have the next one in the US. That's what I'm hoping, but this might be kind of fun. We'll check that out maybe. And then I'm going to finish off with some Hedera news. Developer highlights from March 2026. Hedera Agent Lab is a browser-based environment in the Hedera portal built for AI agent development. No local setup, just open and build in the browser. I still got to check this out, by the way. It sounds pretty fun. Sounds pretty awesome. Announcement for devs. The USDTO is live on Hedera for cross-chain stablecoin liquidity. JSON RPC relay default coming is changing April 20th. Hero local node is transitioning to Solo by September 2026. Swift 6 now supported in the Hero Swift SDK. Two videos. We kind of talked a little bit about Dr. Lehman talking about close quantum readiness. We just kind of watched a little bit of that one. And there's a full technical walkthrough of Hedera hooks. If you're interested in that, some documentation around Hedera hooks, which is available in testnet, will be live in mainnet later this month. Hooks are lightweight programs that add custom logic to the native entities. And here's a workshop, how to register and build a useful AI agent in the HL registry broker. And someone in the chat was asking about Frontier. Hedera has emerged as a leader in real-world asset innovation with the governance and performance needs for regulated use cases, said Anthony. The launch up front on Hedera highlights the role Hedera can play as a trusted network for digital payments. I'm not really getting some data around that yet, but hoping we already talked about HeteraCon. And there's active Hero improvement proposals to follow. That's way beyond my expertise, but that is it. You can also, they have a little newsletter if you're interested in that, but that caps off our Hedera news. I thought that was a lot of interesting things to share, and, you know, Algorand Hedera continue to be my favorite. Well, we've got a nice little audience going, and I appreciate everyone tuning in for the Hedera segment. So Landa Cash was asking about post-quantum. He says, is it just a different hash function? Everyday Algonaut says, the main issue is that quantum computers can break the elliptic curves, the private key you have to sign the transactions on the blockchain. Also, private keys in SSL communication to your bank. So if someone is recording now TCP traffic there, they may find your password and they will get quantum computers to break basic cryptography. You know, one thing around that I thought was interesting is they were talking about like going after like Satoshi Nakamoto's wallet, because like it hasn't moved. None of the cryptos moved since he started it. And I was kind of thinking like they were talking about preventing it, but I'm like, well, wouldn't that potentially be a good thing? Jackson Crawford says, go Algo. Green Blue says, what can a normie do with Hedera other than a speculative hold? Honest question. I mean, I think it's a lot of the stuff you do in Algorand. I don't know there's a lot of games yet. Is there? I've seen like games in development. I haven't seen any come out, but there's like, you know, there's DEXs, there's trading, there's there's NFTs. Apparently it's pretty easy to start. I kind of want to play around with that agent developer. Like you can just do it right in your browser. That's kind of cool, right? But yeah, I mean, I don't know. You could almost ask the same question for Algorand though, right? Like if I'm a normie, what can I do? What can I do with Algorand? It's kind of the same answer, I would say, other than maybe there's a little more out there because it's been around a little longer. But Jackson Crawford says, go Algo, 5 years Algo warrior, liked too. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, Jackson, very much. I guess we'll watch Eleanor for a little while. She's always got some interesting stuff. We'll hang on for another 15 minutes or so, and then it's lunchtime for me. But let's see. Everyday Algonaut says, if someone will break quantum security, they'll not wipe out the Satoshi's account. They do not want to be revealed in the first transaction. They have this capacity. That's a kind of a good point too. Well, like I said, I think they're going to go for bigger targets anyway. I think Bitcoin, especially individual Bitcoin wallets, like those are going to be like pretty far down the priority list, because there's just so many bigger targets. And crypto, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about this. My sense is crypto is generally more secure than, you know, like Target or some of these banks. Like, good God, they're always getting breaches of security, right? I mean, even I did a story on a local law firm that got hacked for private information. So anyway, yeah, let's head on to Eleanor. I want to see what she has to say. Alpha Arcade, property games. Yeah, there's property on there. There's tokenized metals on there on Hedera. There's US dollar coin. There's NFTs. So it's kind of all the same thing. Featured trader Algos is going to 125. Well, I'd settle down a little on that. All right, let's see what they got to say for a while here.
About grain futures, there's like binary futures have been a thing under CFTC jurisdiction for a long time. I think the debate where maybe this ends up in the Supreme Court is whether or not binary futures on sports specifically, because there's a long established history for political markets, for commodities, like all these other things, but we're probably going to get to the Supreme Court on this at some point, just on whether or not a binary future on a sporting event is gambling or not. And the CFTC is obviously taking a very firm position that it is not. And the states, especially those with big gambling industries, are taking the stance that it is. And so that's probably where this is going to end up, because otherwise you're just going to be back and forth. And like, you know, there are better uses at the state level and probably at the federal level, you know, than arguing about whether or not a sporting event is a binary future. So we'll see. And then on the back of this also, I thought it was interesting. We'll give a quick shout out. Polymarket released in partnership with Pith Oracles, the binary futures on stock movement. So we're doing some pretty creative things with binary futures right now. Like
that's what Alpha Arcade has, or not. That's what Haystack has. They have binary futures for Bitcoin and Algorand and all that other stuff on their sites. They call it PVP, but that's what he's talking
about. Obviously, if you have a derivative, or you have a security based swap, that's going to be firmly in security territory. So if you're betting kind of on will Amazon stock go up or down, we're taking a pretty confident stance that that is also a binary future, because you're not actually investing in the stock. You're just essentially placing a future on action price movement based on some kind of a pricing pair with an oracle. And so like the prediction markets industry is...
Sorry, I got to address this. Cafe Solo says algo is pumping because it has fallen for so long and hopefully bottom. It has nothing to do with any news. That's insane. You think it's just a pure coincidence that it's been on the bottom for almost a year, and independently of all these other coins, it started pumping right after the Google mention. You think that's what you think? That's crazy. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible. I think it's pretty unlikely, especially the fact that it's finally moving outside of a lot of other coins, because like, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, XRP, Solana, all just kind of middling. And then Algorand's been pumping for days right after that paper drops. I sincerely doubt it.
It's getting pretty creative. And yeah, I think it's going to take on sports and some of these equity based instruments. Like it's going to take somebody to make some decisions here.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we'll see. Yeah. It'll be a Supreme Court battle.
All right, I know they're not busy at all. So
no, not at all. But they only take up 1% of cases that they are pitched. But I feel like they would probably take this one up because it's in the public interest.
Yep.
But we'll see. All right. Well, crypto has officially started ramping up its midterm efforts. This week, we saw the launch of a new hybrid pack from members of the Digital Chamber, Anchorage Digital, and Chainlink. And also the Fellowship Pack announced that Tether's head of regulatory affairs, Jesse Spiro, will be its chairman. And they said that they will be announcing a slate of endorsements for candidates in the coming days. And then obviously we had Mason on from Stand With Crypto last week. They announced their 2026 roadmap for supporting candidates for the midterms. I feel like this has just been the last 2 weeks kind of peak kickoff season for crypto getting involved in the elections again. Like,
I like this. This is the only way you're going to get politicians to side with crypto is you got to start paying them just like all the other industries do. And, you know, I don't care left or right. Doesn't matter. They're all taking money. They're all getting paid. They're all making money and they're voting with the people that pay them. It's just how it works. Doesn't matter. Left or right. Doesn't matter. It's as George Carlin said, it's a big club. You ain't in it.
Like they did in 2024. So more candidate endorsements to come, I think, from the Tether-backed pack that we're seeing here. And yeah, just another big crypto blitz, I guess, we're gearing up for. We'll cover this more on the show, obviously, as the months and the weeks go by. But interesting that the Digital Chamber members actually kind of kicked off their own pack. There's a lot more packs this year, as we know. It's not just Fairshake anymore.
The Kobe quote, job not done, right? Like even if Clarity passes, over the summer before the midterms, which I know people are getting increasingly optimistic about, and we'll see, you know, how that goes. I know there were a lot of announcements, particularly from Coinbase, about solving this issue within 48 hours at some point this week. And it's about 48 hours. And so we'll see if we get any movement there. But yeah, obviously, like there's still a lot of work to be done. Congressional candidates on both sides of the aisle need to be aware that we're still here. This wasn't like a flash in the pan. And so it's exciting to see, as you mentioned, Ellie, like the field growing just in terms of methods that we can, you know, support candidates who support pro-crypto policies. So I think overall, it's great to see. Yeah.
Also, Ellie, did you mention the Fellowship Pack also brought on Tether's head of regulatory affairs?
Yeah, and we're going to have Jesse on to chat about that, because that's a cool one. That's a big one.
Yeah, for sure. I think it also kind of just points to Tether's like deeper dive into the U.S. following USAT and their relationship with Bo Hines, bringing him on as well. So it's just interesting to see. And I'm honestly curious to see how all these packs kind of like band together, maybe for the greater good. Is that a thing? Do they get together or no? They kind of...
Well, I think you can probably tell from the groupings of the biggest backers, like who potentially, like what issues they're going to be most focused on, right? So I know who's Fairshake, Coinbase, Ripple, and...
A6Z.
and yeah, and A16Z. So they obviously got a lot done, you know, this past election cycle. And so it'll be interesting to see some other voices, you know, moving a little closer to the halls of Congress, as we all have been over the past year, and sort of putting their money, you know, in front of some of these issues.
Yeah, for sure. We'll keep an eye on it. And something else we're keeping an eye on is the Genius Act rule implementation. So we got an announcement this week, the Treasury Department officially kicking off its effort to implement the Genius Act rulemaking. They had a release of an ANPR, which is my new favorite acronym for a notice of advanced rulemaking. It's a 60-day comment period, an 87-page rule. Some early reactions that I've been hearing is that the wording takes a little bit more of a restrictive view on what qualifies as substantially similar when it comes to state law and federal standards. Moody's, the credit rating agency, flagged that the framework could lead to meaningfully different risk profiles between state and federally regulated issuers, stablecoin issuers, depending on how states meet or exceed federal standards. So some mixed reactions. Obviously, it's very early. A lot of people are going to be weighing in and commenting on this. Big implications here, but yeah, just another rollout of the Genius Act that we saw pass nearly a year ago. We're coming up on, I mean, it's April now. It passed in June or July of last year.
July.
Yeah. So isn't that crazy? Almost a year.
Yeah. Almost
a year. And clarity's still not done.
And this, I mean, yeah. And, but this is what happens, right? Like you need guidance. A lot of people have been talking about the review periods that are going to come for the agencies after clarity passes, if it passes. And the truth is, like, this sausage takes a while to make. So yeah, good to see something come out, and maybe we could have Tyler on to talk about where Treasury stands on some of this stuff. Yeah, it's good to see it, you know, moving through the pipes, as it were. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. The rulemaking is what, it's 2/3 of it, right? Like year and a half to 2 to 3 years.
Legislation is basically just Congress saying, go figure this out.
Right, right.
And then everybody has to go figure it out.
It's a tiny little percentage of it.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into the hack, because we are going to spend a lot of the show talking about this today. But for those who don't know what happened, a major hack happened on the Drift protocol. And it's got the whole DeFi industry on edge this week. And basically what happened is an attacker found a way to trick Drift's system into showing inaccurate prices, which then allowed them to game trades and pull out around $285 million from the platform. And there have been a lot of interesting takes on this one this week. We saw some tweets fired off from Tolly, from Hayden Adams, from Uniswap. Austin Campbell will obviously be on the show later to talk about it. We've got Rebecca coming on in a couple of minutes, but just want to get your guys' take on this quickly. It's been a big point of conversation this week.
I mean, speaking of other people's takes too, someone, I think his name is Suhail, I'm probably butchering that, but he works at Polymarket. You guys would know him if you saw him, but he basically did this whole long post about how, like, DeFi is dead now. And then Stani, who's been on the show, friend of the show, replies like, DeFi is not dead. And then it became this big debate around, like, what DeFi's perception looks like outside of, like, this whole crypto sphere, right? Because I know TechCrunch reported it as, like, DeFi protocol, and so did, like, Bloomberg and others, right? So, like, it's being treated, and, like, the argument was, like, oh, it's not DeFi, right? But it is to everyone outside of this, and it's not a good look for us in any capacity, and it's extremely unfortunate.
Yeah.
I also saw that CoinDesk reported that Elliptic's analysis of this was that it actually was likely tied back to North Korean hackers, which is not a good look for us in any capacity.
Well, I heard about that a little bit. I don't know if it being tied back to North Korea hackers is a bad look for crypto in general. I think they're just always hacking stuff, right? Like, I don't know. It's interesting.
Because again, it's like a national security risk. There's so many implications there. And it kind of just goes to the point of, like, those DeFi summer days are still within this space, even though we've matured in so many other ways.
Yeah, I think so. Lazarus Group, which is a group tied to North Korea, I think they've taken something like $6.5 billion out of crypto over the last few years. I think I don't want to get too much, like, the devil's in the details here. I do agree with, like, the
there's a lot
the,
of
like, yeah, it's like the oversimplification. So they basically, it was pretty sophisticated, and like it was kind of a like what's that movie from the 60s or 70s about the, it's like about the long con. Like it basically, like this is a pretty sophisticated attack. They took over what was actually a pretty weak security wise multi-sig. So it was a 205. And again, like, I don't want to get super into the weeds because I know we're going to talk about this with Rebecca and Austin, but created a fake token and then basically through misrepresenting like an Oracle, essentially maxed out this fake token and then just pulled out like a ton of money from the protocol. That's like a gross oversimplification, but that's basically how they game the system. And I will also point out, like, Drift, I think it also passed 2 security audits in the past. So like the auditors also, and what's funny to me is like, you can...
That's far more concerning, by the way. It's the fact that a Korean hacker hacked a protocol. I mean, that's been pretty par for the course lately, but the fact that this protocol passed like two different audits, that's pretty scary. So that makes you wonder about the veracity of these audits. Anyway, I think we're gonna call it a day, but I appreciate everyone tuning in. I think we had a great show. I really enjoyed sharing the news, and it's nice to have Algorand get a win for a change. So, in the meanwhile, stay safe and start figuring out. If you guys are, I know we talk about crypto a lot, but you know, one of my big things, the reason I'm called FrugalBC is because I'm pretty careful with my money, and I've subsequently had a lot of money to invest because I'm not spending it on stupid stuff, you know, and I really don't, here where I live, I have a pretty low cost of living, but I've been very intentional about how I create that. You know, I don't ever do DoorDash. I didn't do DoorDash since the COVID era, when there was basically nothing else to spend money on and I wanted to help keep the economy going. So, and I needed something to look forward to, because otherwise you're just sitting in your house. I kind of hated it, kind of loved that period. Billy Willie says, Algo, it's your turn. I appreciate that. Everyday Algonauts says, have a nice day. You too as well. So you got to think carefully about how you're spending your money. You know, when you buy something, you should think, well, this could be money going to crypto or going to index funds. And it doesn't mean you always make that choice. I still buy stuff. I went out with my girl last night. It was good. You know, that's worth it. We go out once a week, you know, but we don't go out every night. That'd be all our money would be going to restaurants. And, you know, a lot of times I don't think it's worth it, to be honest. It's good once a week. That's a good pace. That's a good compromise for us, I think. And just something to think about, just kind of a thought I want to leave you with. I want to start talking about that stuff a little more too. But yeah, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you guys do well out there. Stay safe. Have a great weekend, and I will see you in the future.